Test.
Helps if you push the button and the light's green. This teacher training 101, make sure your mic's turned on. Okay, looks like Travis and Dave got handouts. If you'd like one, he's going to come around, pass them out. It's not as robust as I'd like. In the last 72 hours, me and my partner at school have handed out 1,000 Chromebooks, literally 1,000 Chromebooks. So, like, if you see me twitch, that's why. So, I gotta say, Hannah's also been super helpful. She's given me a bunch of chargers from her school, so it's been a team effort. Let them finish passing that out, and we'll get going. Actually, we're gonna hold on one second, guys. We're gonna start with our prayer with Ryan, if he doesn't mind.
Let's pray. God, our Father, we are grateful that we get to come before you now to worship and to study your word, Father. Please help us to be able to dedicate our lives to you even more, Father, through learning more about zeal and what it means and how we can apply it to our lives. Father, pray you'll be with Sean tonight and help him to be able to present the word to us in a way that we'll be able to easily understand and apply it to our lives. Father, thank you for this wonderful church, this establishment that you set for us to be able to worship with Christians and to feel safe and protected. And Father, we just ask that we'll always be examples to others around us. Please forgive us of our shortcomings. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Okay, so we'll start with the usual disclaimers. If you want to say something, if you're close, I'll come up and give you my mic. If you're a little farther back, Ryan's got the mic over here so we can get moved around. If it's just a little short comment, I don't mind to repeat it. But if you're going to pontificate for just a little while, let us know so we can bring you the mic and you can make sure we share those pearls of wisdom with those of us on the stream. Because if you've ever listened to the stream, when somebody doesn't get the mic, it sounds like Charlie Brown's teacher talking. You get enough of that from me and LR, so we're going to actually make sure everybody hears what you got to say. I'm going to start, first of all, by going back a little bit. A few of us meet for breakfast, and we always give, on Friday mornings, we do a Bible study, and we give John Lindsay a hard time, because whenever we start, Travis looks at him and says, "Do you have anything to say from last time?" And he usually backs up about 4 or 5 chapters, and we start over. So I'm going to go back a little bit, and John's not here to give me a hard time about it. So Todd Embry brought up a really great... Oh, you were eclipsed behind Daryl over here, so I couldn't see you. I got you. You're good. Yeah, there you go. Daryl moved, and he's less eclipsed. So he's here, and sorry. Great. Todd Embry brought up a really great point about James 3:17, and that's the context of it. Okay, I am a context fan. I like seeing the context, right? I'm that nerd that laughs every time the preacher says, if you see therefore, you got to go back and see what it's there for. And I laugh every time because I think it's hilarious. And I love context. So what is the context of James 3:17? Remember, that was our test of faith, our test of wisdom, sorry. Is it pure? Is it, can't remember them all. What's that context? What is James, what's the author of the letter saying to those people? And what it really is about is these people are being brought ideas from outside, right? They're being brought ideas from letters, from teachers, from preachers, and what didn't they have? How do we know if something's the Word of God? Where's it at? It's in the Bible, yeah. What didn't they have? The Bible. They couldn't say, okay, does this line up? So that really was their test of wisdom to say, is it pure? Is it this? Is it this? Is it this? And do you get all the way through these steps? And where do we sort of have examples of people going through that? Starts with an A and rhymes with Shmishmalus. Apollos, right? He was preaching and he was teaching, but what did they do? What did they do for him? They took him aside and taught him, right? So did Apollos have zeal? Yeah, he did. Did he have wisdom? Some of it, right? He had the whiz, but not the dumb, right? So he was still building that. And so they pull him aside and say, hey, man, let's look at this a little bit. And they fixed it, right? Because that's one of the things we talked about last week that I want to reiterate again. If we see young Christians doing silly, unwise things, what is our job, or what is the job of more mature Christians? Teach them, right? It is not to berate. It is not to say, oh my goodness, what were you thinking? right? I mean, if you have that relationship, we can start that way. But we need to be that way, right? So that was just a real good point, and Todd Embry brought that up, right? And it was, I love when people come talk to me about stuff, okay? My first reaction is, oh, my goodness, what did I say? So I told Clint, first time teaching this class, at one point he was sort of like leaned out and had his hand on the railing of the pew like he was about to like spring. And I thought, oh, no, what did I say? And I told him that, and he goes, oh, you fixed it, it's okay. He's like, no, you didn't say anything. I was just getting comfortable. Okay, so here we go. We're on lesson 9. Still working on this one. Hopefully by Sunday we'll be there. But rear projectors are notoriously finicky to get set up, so we're going to be going from that. Lesson 9 is embracing loving service. Okay? And if any teacher or anybody who's preached or brought a lesson to people has ever told you, they always say, you know what, I'm talking to myself. I wrote this sermon for me. You just get to hear me talk to myself about it, right? Because everybody needs to hear it. This is one of those lessons that sort of kicks you in the teeth a little bit. Because if you can read this and not think, what else should I be doing? You're well ahead of a lot of us, okay? So this is one of those, I'm going to throw it out to you guys a lot. I'd like, if you want to talk, great. If you don't, let me know some of the answers to this later, and we'll go from there. So just remember where we've been, where are we going, where are we, and where have we been? We did the prepare stuff. We did the ignite stuff. Remember, as we go through this lesson, we're in the fuel section. We're in that section that is meant to get you fueled, right? Anybody ever run out of gas? What happens when you don't have fuel? You don't go anywhere, right? Unless you're like me and you got lucky. I ran out of gas at the top of an exit ramp, and luckily the gas station was downhill. So I got out and I pushed for about 3 feet and just coasted. But is that what we're wanting to do? One, we don't want to stop, right? If you're not growing, you're not living, okay? Same thing with the fuel. We don't want to coast. If you lose your fuel, you'll stop that. So these things, that adding wisdom and then embracing loving service, these are the things that will fuel you, okay? And I want you all to see the two goals today. Two goals is I want you to understand the role of love, okay? Understand the role of love. That is important. I want you to grasp why love is important as we develop our zeal, right? Our lifelong passion. Why is that love important? And that's going to be that'll be a little bit of discussion we'll get into. But our second goal is I want you to understand the role of service. Okay? And we're going to get to service. And that's one of those words that we say a lot, but we don't really know. Or you might even do a lot of service, but you don't think about it as service. And if you sort of change your framework on that just a little bit, you will be engaged in loving service, but you just don't know it, or you just don't know what to call it, right? So you may feel sort of guilty as you read through this, but then as we get some examples out there, you'll be like, hey, I do that. I do that, and I do that. And maybe I could do a little more towards that, but like I said, it'll kick you in the teeth a little bit, but hopefully you'll feel a little better after you get kicked in the teeth, okay? So, first one we're going to talk about is the role of love. And I've been building this slideshow over the last couple days as I've been building my lesson. And I just got to admit, I actually spelled role wrong in every one of these. I put role as in like roll. So, luckily I caught that right before we left for dinner. So I fixed it. But so what is the role of love? First, what is love? One of y'all says, baby, don't hurt me. I'm just going to, you heard the song. We have a song in our songbook called What is Love? And if anybody ever leads that, it's going to be hard for me not to sing the song. Love is putting others before yourself. Okay? Agree or disagree? I like to do this, and I like class participation. And I may do this every so often. I know LR is strong, so he can take it. I got a voting system. It's called Fist to Five. Fist means that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Five means that's the best answer. I can't add anything to it. A three is like, it's okay. It's average. Anywhere in between, just use your own judgment. So, LR, do you mind if we evaluate your answer real quick? Okay. Love is putting others before yourself. Fist to five. What do you think? And I'm not going to vote in the back yet. Oh, come on. You gave the answer. I think it's a pretty good answer. I'd stick at about a 4.5. I think it is an excellent answer. Could we add a little bit to it? Maybe. But is there much to take out of it? I think it is. It's putting others before yourself. Now, who's the others? That's the context of it, right? So we're going to look at that just a little bit. One of the things I would like to state before we move on, love is a choice. Okay? Love is a choice. You can read about it. You can look into it. Love is a choice. Now, modern day, we like to confuse love with infatuation, right? The butterflies. How many of y'all say, have you ever heard somebody say, the butterflies are gone? Okay, they should be gone. Your relationship should change and grow, right? I mean, they might be there sometimes, but just check, make sure she's not poisoning you, right? So love is a choice. Infatuation is different, right? And modern day, when we look at love, 90% of the time, what do they mean? They mean infatuation, right? But love, putting others before yourself, is a choice, okay? So remember that. As we look at the role of love in some of these, I would just want you to understand that love is a choice. Does anybody agree with that? Anybody want to evaluate me on that? What do you think? Fist of five. Okay. That's hard. And now I'll be honest. I took a philosophy class at Western, and that was one of the first things we looked at. And he said, love is a choice. And it was interesting because I was like, no, I don't agree with that. It's just, it happens. And then you start reading about it, and you start looking at biblical examples as well. Yeah, I got a hand up over here. See? Yeah. So, I'm gonna get to that in just a second. I forgot these slides. So, loving God, not moral flawlessness, is the goal. Can we acquire moral flawlessness? No, can't do it. But loving God, now is that enough though, right? You can't say, well, I love God, but I have all these other sins, but I love God, right? So it's not enough. But if you wait until you have moral flawlessness, you're just never going to get there. So the first one, 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5. Let's take a look at that real quick. Second Corinthians 8, 1 through 5. It's too much, so I'm just going to read it out to you guys. I usually wait till I hear the butterflies stop before I start reading. So, now, brothers and sisters, we make it known to you the grace of God which has been given to the church of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave voluntarily, begging us with much urging for the favor of the participation in the support of the saints, and this, not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. So, is there love in the Macedonians' actions? But it doesn't say love. But does it? But does it say love? No. I mean, you don't really, unless you got different translations, I guess. But it doesn't just come out and say love, right? So how do we see their love? What'd they do? Self-sacrifice. What'd they do, LR? They put others before themselves, right? And so that is one of those things. It's like, that's, if you can say nice things about people, that's one of the nicest things you can say, right? You're saying they love people, not by saying they love people, but they're showing it, right? We had a PD speaker the other day. She said, I can't hear you over your actions. Right? I hear your voice, but your actions are drowning it out. So the Macedonians have it, and they're showing that love, right? Okay? What about Asa? We're not going to read all the way through 1 Kings 15. What do we know about Asa? What's his claim to fame? What's the story? Just a two-second version. Anybody? King, right? Good king or bad king? Good. Okay, y'all remember the old timelines from back in the classrooms? the good kings were all smiling, the sad old king, the bad kings were all frowning. Did anybody have those timelines before? Yeah, we had one of them at the old building, I remember. I don't remember. I think they're still up. Asa was a good king, and it says Asa was wholly devoted to the Lord in all his days. Okay? Wholly devoted. Can we read into that and think that Asa put the Lord first? Would we have got the description? Would they have said that he was wholly devoted if he didn't love the Lord? So that's a question. Can you be wholly devoted and not love something? I think you can feel wholly devoted, but not really be wholly devoted, right? Have you ever done that? Has anybody ever felt that way? You feel wholly devoted, but you're like, do my actions really show that? Right? I don't know. Just something to think about. So, here we go. This is the 1 Corinthians 13. Told you I'd get there. So, 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith and that can move mountains, but do not love, have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. What's the takeaway here? What is the one thing that if you read this, imagine you're in English class, what is the author's main point? Do all things in love. Okay? We could even rephrase that to say, if you don't have love, it doesn't matter. Right? But you can still do all those things, right? And that's hard for us to process, right? Because when we look at people that are doing these things, these outward, what are all these things? They're outward signs of what? Love. But you can do them without love, right? Motivations. And that's, I do want to take a little bit of side break from this thing. Your language and your choices that you, of the words you use really show your mindset, right? So I'm trying really hard to stop saying that I have to do things church-related, right? I have to go to church tonight. I caught myself saying that that I was working on something for school, and somebody said, oh, what are you doing? Are you going to go home tonight? I said, I have to teach tonight. And I caught myself, and I was like, oh, I don't like that, right? What should you say? What's the word? What's the change there? I get to, right? It's that growth mindset stuff. Your kids that are coming home from school in the next few days, they're going to hear about growth mindset out the wazoo, right? Because they want you to think it through, right? The other thing is the power of the word yet. I can't teach a class, right? That sounds hard because that's negative, isn't it? But just add yet to it. I can't teach a class yet. And that leaves it open-ended. Because I can't do something versus I can't do it yet. It's closed versus open. Okay? So that's going to be one of my challenges. I've got another challenge for you at the end. As you think about your spiritual life and your growth of zeal, stop using the word have to and start using the words get to or I have the opportunity to. And then if somebody asks you to do something and you're not ready to do it, don't say I can't. Say, I can't yet, okay? Can we do that? Is that something we can do? And then try to catch each other, right? Like, listen if your husband or wife or your kids and be like, no, you said get, have to, not get. And sort of push it to that. And I agree, this really throws the love thing into stark contrast because it also shows us something really important. It shows us that our motivations matter, right? It shows us that our motivations matter. And that's something that's really hard to sort of process for ourselves too. Because do we even know our own motivations sometimes? Have you ever said yes to something and you said, why did I say yes to that? It's sort of like that. So, yeah, go ahead.
What I love about 1 Corinthians 13 is for all those people who were in Corinth, this was like a contest, right? Like, oh, I want to be able to speak in tongues. Speaking in tongues is so cool. I want to be able to have prophecy. And so you know, we don't have spiritual gifts today. So how do we apply this? Well, look, some people have the gift. I would like to use this example, and you heard this the other night. Some people have the gift to lead singing. I do not have the gift to lead singing, right?
Yes.
My wife, no, that ain't coming. Liz has told me that's not coming. It's not my thing, so I'm not going to do that. And that's okay. But some people don't. There are things that we do within the church that there are certain prerequisites. You know, you need to be able to, if you're going to preach a sermon, you need to be able to be calm in front of a crowd. Not everybody can do that sort of thing. But the one thing that Paul was emphasizing is all those spiritual gifts, all the things we can do within the church, there is no prerequisite you need to love.
Correct.
You don't have to have a special skill set. That is the most important thing. It is the most enduring thing, and it is the simplest thing for us to have.
Yeah, it's the commonality there. When you look through the list, it's cool if you can do this, 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 and this. But with every one of them, what do you have to have? You have love, right? You don't do it just because you have to. You do it because you get to, and you do it because you love God. You love others, and you want to do what? Put them above you, right? And that's what service is. I do want to throw something out there. The whole growth mindset thing can be very discouraging to someone who does not have a particular gift. And it can be. Part of that is also acceptance. If you aren't good at something, it is perfectly the best. This is the best thing that let's say that somebody keeps asking you to lead singing. Find someone that you can deflect to. Be like, you know what? You don't want Travis leading. I'm Travis. I don't want to lead singing. Don't say, oh, I'm terrible at that. I don't want to. But you know what? I think if you tried to reach out to so-and-so, they would, right? And that just sort of stops you from feeling, getting down a little bit about it, because it can be sort of depressing. There's a guy that Aaron and I went to church with in Charlestown Road, and he always wanted to speak. And he'd talk to you until he's blue in the face. But when he got in front of a crowd, he talked like this the whole time. Like, he just couldn't do it. And it was very hard on him. And so eventually a friend of mine, really encouraging him, actually just told him, hey, you got plenty of other stuff to do. You have every other gift that you can do. It was weird. He could lead singing, but if you asked him to say the number, like, he couldn't even say the number he was about to lead. He would just sort of open his book and point to the hymn board, right? So anything on this before we skedaddle past the role of love? So, real quick, is love important? Yes. Should it infuse all parts of our service? Yes. Okay? Can you be zealous but not loving? Yeah. Just like you can be zealous without wisdom, right? That's perfectly, you can be zealous without loving, and that really boils down to your motivations, right? I'm doing this because I want to look good. I want to have a picture to put up on the Instagram, right? Instead of, I want to do this because I want to help people. Okay, so I think, this is a question. This is a thinker. Can the awareness of sin and shortcomings lead to more zeal? Yeah, I think it can. And a good example that he throws at us is Luke 7, 41 through 43. And I've got it up here for you. So two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You would judge correctly. So how does this answer that question? Because I'm going to be honest, I've got this, like, in my book, I've got it circled just because I wanted to look at it a few times because I was trying to wrap my brain around it. Why does the guy who had the bigger debt forgiven love him more? A bigger weight was taken off his shoulders, right? And if you've ever, go ahead.
Well, we see this in Saul. And we see this in Peter, very much so. They had burdens of guilt on their hearts And instead of letting it bury them, they used it to fuel them and push them to work harder, to redeem themselves for their sins and shortcomings.
Yeah. What's the old saying? A smooth ship or smooth sailings don't make good sailors, right? Because smooth sailing, if you've never had to deal with a hurricane and you're on a ship and all of a sudden a hurricane comes up and it's been 20 years since you've dealt with one, what are you going to do? You're going to panic. And it's sort of interesting. And you can see this throughout. I see this when I look at more mature Christians. And when troubles come to older Christians, it's you don't really see the panic. They're just like, okay. And they sort of ride it out. And some of us younger Christians will be like, what do I do, right? We might do it up publicly, but we panic, right? And so I agree. And this sort of goes back to last what we talked about a little bit last time. Remember, first step in having a problem is what? Admitting you have it, right? It's admitting you have it and moving on. And so if you have sin, if you have burdens in your life and you don't admit that you have them, they'll weigh you down, right? They will shut down your loving service before you even get active. And so I would agree with this. And there's, if you read a little more into his writings here, Mr. Shoemates, there's some good stuff there. Okay. Questions before we go to the role of service in our, developing our zeal, building it up? Okay. So the role of service. What's service? What is service? Okay, we'll go back. Okay, what's the root word of the word service? Serve, right? So service, you'd have to ask somebody else that has a better English background than me because I don't know what this part of it means. But service is serving, right? It is going out and doing things for who? Others, yeah. So service implies other people, right? It implies that you are doing something for other people. And in this context, doing something for who? Big G rhymes with odd. God, there you go. Thank you. Okay. See, I knew if I gave you enough hints, someone would get it. So doing stuff for God. Okay. Let me catch up in my notes real quick. So the role of service is important. Because when you look in the Bible and in the first century, what did most of the writers call themselves? Servants, right? When you look at really what Jesus came to do, what did he do? What was he kept hitting on over and over and over again? That he came as a servant, right? So this is where we got to take our ego out, right? Because if Jesus could do it, we can do it, or we should be trying to do it, right? And this is where the role of service is really going to come in. So every loving Christian must put on the heart of a servant, okay? So as you think about your zeal, developing that lifelong passion, you will develop that lifelong passion by serving others, and by serving God in specifically, okay? And it's sort of a self-perpetuating cycle, right? You're zealous, you're excited, you are devoted, so you go out and you do good stuff for people, which then does it make you feel good to do nice things for people? Yeah, is that the purpose for doing it? No, it's a side effect. And I mean, I think it's intended. You get that benefit of feeling good while you're doing those things. And so it sort of perpetuates itself. So you get more excited to do good things, and you sort of roll, right? It's like the snowball in the cartoons. Up at the top of the hill, it starts as just like a little acorn that falls down, and then it crushes an entire Swiss village because it's the size of like 2 miles wide. So Romans 12:11, let's look at that real quick. So Romans 12:11, and we're going to actually look a little bit before and after, I believe. So when we teach the high school class, one of the things Matt and I teach, talk together, Brian and I talk together, we always ask them, what's the heading of your section, right? Because it's always interesting to see what different Bibles have as their headings, and to see sort of like how they predict what they're predicting is going to come up, and how can you sort of pull the main idea, and how can you sort of put yourself in the frame of mind to sort of be reading that, right? So in Romans 12:11, let's go with that real quick. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, preserving in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Am I in the wrong verse? Let me make sure. No, we're good. Okay. So what is he saying? Why has he given us that list of things he's doing? Let's read it again. 12:11. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation. Why does he throw that in? What? What's that? Okay. Yeah, so that's how we mimic God. That's how we mimic Jesus. That's how we mimic the stories that we see in the Old and the New Testament. We persevere, right? Or we are fervent in spirit. Okay. So, yeah, there we go. Luke 17, 10, 7 through 10. I didn't copy the whole thing, so let's go there. Because it really should be 7 through 10 that I want to look at. So Luke 17, 7 through 10. I'm just going to be real honest. You guys are giving me like a false hope for tomorrow. My students show up tomorrow, and I doubt they'll be this quiet. So if you all just want to yell out or whatever, I'm perfectly okay with that, and it's something I'm used to. So 7 through 10. Now, which of you, having a slave, plowing or tending sheep, yeah, 17, 7 through 10, plowing or tending sheep, will say to him after he comes in from the field, come immediately and recline at the table to eat. On the contrary, you will not say to him, prepare something for me to eat, and properly clothe yourself, and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you may eat and drink. He does not thank the slave because he did the things which were commanded, does he? Which is going to set up this, right? He tells that story to bring this into context, okay? And he's going to say, so you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. That's hard, right? So who's he telling this story to? Who? So I heard. Yeah, he's telling the apostles, right? He's telling them that when you do what you're supposed to do, what should you tell yourself? Man, you guys are awesome. You did such great work apostolizing today. It is so cool that you did. No, what's he telling them to say? We did what we were supposed to do, right? Growing up, I always severely disliked the kids who got paid for getting A's and B's on the report cards. Couldn't stand it because I'd go home to my parents and be like, hey, I got an A. It didn't happen often. I got an A. Look, it might be in gym, but I got the A. Can I have $5 per A? And they said, no, we expect that of you. We're not going to reward you for something you're supposed to do. Good job. Step up and do more, and it might be worth something, right? But that is hard to process, don't you think? Because did the apostles do good work? Yeah, right? They spread the gospel. They assisted Jesus in building this whole shindig, right? But he tells them, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. Oh, got to. There we go. Okay, go ahead. Yeah. Yeah. Are we promised that, and this is something that we get into with the high school kids a whole bunch. Are we promised that our Christian life will be easy? Are we promised that we will never have anything bad happen to us? No. It doesn't say that, right? What we tell them is, you know what, if you follow God's commandments, will your life be easier sometimes? Yeah, yeah, it will. It's real simple. If you follow the commandments, God, I believe, and you follow them well and like to the best of your ability, it is a difficult thing to get addicted to drugs, right? Because you're going to avoid that. You're going to stay out of it. Does it happen? Yes. Is it something we should help our brethren with if they are having a problem with? Yes. Okay? Should we avoid talking to someone who is addicted to drugs about the gospel? No. They need it, right? They need it more than we did. What did Jesus himself say? I came to help. I'm the good physician, came to help who? Sick people, right? And so that's something we got to think about. That's service, isn't it? To go out to the people who need it the most. So, if we're doing what we want, what we should be, your life is easier, but we're not promised that. And it is hard work, right? And I think it's disingenuous to tell anybody that we're talking to about Christianity that if you become a Christian, if you come to our church, if you obey the gospel, your life is going to be so much better than everybody out in the world. That's not a guarantee, guys. And we hurt our children by telling them that. Now, does it make it a little easier? Do we have coping skills and mechanisms that we can use? Do we have the grace that God offers us? Yeah, and that helps. We're not promised that you're never going to hit a hiccup or you're never going to hit a major life pothole, right? And that's hard. That's something I struggled with when I was younger, okay? So it is hard work, and thank you for bringing that up. That is important. And this service, and that really builds into this role of service, that when you serve others, it's not about you, and it may be difficult, but that's not an excuse to quit, right? So, any points here? I don't know, I've been rambling. Yeah, right up here, Ryan.
Going back to Romans chapter 12, if you back up to verse 10, it says, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. I think that kind of ties both of these concepts together pretty well. I wonder what it would look like if we actually tried to outdo one another in showing honor,
yeah.
You know, in love.
And that's hard. And I'm gonna tell myself for a second. I told y'all are gonna be sort of like my confessional every so often. I'm gonna tell sad stories about myself. Not sad. This is actually really just awkward. So once Travis and I were texting about something in a class or something. I don't even remember. And I said, I'm heading to the grocery. He said, bring me some ginger ale. And I was like, ha ha ha. Well, we walked into Kroger and took a wrong turn. I haven't had a Coke in 9 years, I think. Okay, and I love ginger ale. Haven't had it in 9 years. I miss it greatly. And I walk around the corner, and we turn the wrong corner, and right there was ginger ale on sale. So I thought, hey, Travis said bring him ginger ale. I'm going to take him ginger ale. And I got something, put in the car. And about halfway to his house, I thought, this is the weirdest thing ever. Like, why am I doing this? Is he going to think I'm weird? Is this really just that weird? And so I even got to the point when we pulled up, I made Mallory get out of the car, run up to the porch, put on the porch, and then run away. And then I texted him and said, check your porch. But he caught Mallory. And it just felt weird to do something nice for a friend. And if bringing him, could we call that honoring each other? I guess, right? It was even my favorite, was Verner's, you know, the green bottles. It was on sale. So, but it felt weird, right? Have you all ever done something nice for somebody and you're just like, this is awkward. What do I need to do? We need to get past that, right? We need to get to a point where we can outdo each other in honor and not feel weird about it. Because the other part of this is, too, your motivations, right? Did you do it because you want to outdo him in honor, or did you do it because, well, now I owe him, which nothing's ever showed up on my porch, so. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, Eller.
You know, I think about when Jesus washed the feet of the disciples.
Yeah.
Here's the Creator, the person that made you, who's going to the cross for you, washing your feet. And it's all about being a servant, servant attitude. And that's what he was trying to demonstrate to them, is a servant attitude, that even the Creator going to the cross for you is a servant in that. And that's the number one thing he wants us to do, is be a servant to others and bring them his word.
Yeah, and that is perfect bridge to the point. Thank you. I appreciate that. It's like some of y'all read my notes that are scribbled in here. That's important, right? The best example we have is Christ. Christ served others. I doubt as he got down to clean the feet of the apostles, he thought, man, I bet they're going to think this is weird. He didn't. What if you could get and see what's going through his mind, what do you probably think? I hope they learned the lesson, right? I hope they learn what I'm trying to teach them. I hope they appreciate what I'm doing for them. So, I don't know. It's one of those, it's as you read verses, I do it sometimes, you sort of read into what are the people thinking? Because, I mean, we get the words, but sometimes, and we don't always get the motivations. We have to sort of think about the process there. Let me see where we are. So, we're not quite to reflection time. I want to leave you with another takeaway real quick, is your service, and not just your service, your loving service sends a message. Okay? I tell students all the time, they said, but I didn't make a choice. Well, when you don't make a choice, you're choosing the negative, right? Because if you can choose to do your homework or not do your homework, I didn't choose. Yeah, you did. You chose not to do your homework, right? So even if you're not making a choice, you choose the negative. So if you're choosing to not lovingly serve people just by inaction, what are you choosing to do ultimately? You're choosing not to lovingly serve, right? And so that's something to think about. Your loving service to others is that snowball effect, right? You do something because you love your brothers and sisters in Christ or because you love God, other people will see you do it. Is that the purpose for them to see you do it? No. But does it have that ripple effect to say, you know what, I saw this. This happened, so I saw James, blah, 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 so I'm going to step out of my comfort zone and blah, 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 right? And then maybe others will see. So that action, it picks up, okay? There's a few times I do like to read exactly what he writes. So in this page 46, he says, as Christians, loving service is the fuel that ensures your spiritual fire communicates a positive message. Aim for others to see God's love in your zeal because he alone is worthy of all glory, honor, and praise. So we've talked a little bit about motivations. So what is the ultimate motivation for our loving service to others and to God? Glory and praise to God, yeah. Okay? Now, are there side effects that are beneficial to you? Yeah. I mean, you can look at, there are scientific studies that show the benefits of service. People who engage in service are nicer. There's actually a study I read that people who engage in service are more attractive to other people around them. It's interesting. It's just, they proved it somehow. I don't know. I'm not a scientist, so I don't know. So that's rough. So our reflection, remember our car conversations, we only got about 30 seconds, so I'm going to go there. What are you doing in service for God and for others? This is the kick in the teeth part. What are you doing? And if the answer is nothing, what is the word that you put after that nothing? We learned it. Yet, right? Because if you say nothing, it's really easy to stop there and go, man, that's depressing. But if you say nothing yet, it leaves that door open. Or if you need ideas, I'm going to throw some people out there, and they don't know I'm going to do this, so hopefully you're not too embarrassed. If you want ideas on really good things you can do for other people in this congregation or for God, go ask Travis or Stephen or Mr. Finley, and they will give you ideas, right? Travis has been instrumental in pushing me to do better with the Fourth Fridays and to step up and actually do some stuff. And what's it called? Evangelism workshop stuff we're working on. So find somebody who likes that service in you and follow them around like a little puppy dog until it rubs off, and do that. So talk about this in the car. Have fun, guys. Thanks a lot.